You're tuned to a special broadcast of the North Carolina House District 20 Candidates Forum here on HQR News 91.3 FM. We're also streaming live tonight on WWAYTV3.com. We're turning now to you, our listeners, viewers, and members of our live studio audience, for questions. And as we said at the top of the forum, there are explicit rules which we will make sure are adhered to this evening. Sir, if you would state your name and ask your question first to Betsy Jordan.
Sam Ibrahim. There has been a lot of talk about the corporate tax reform, corporate tax cut. Has that helped or hurt the North Carolina families? Thank you.
Is it to me first?
Yes.
Okay. I believe that that tax reform needs to be reformed. I believe that that tax cut for the top 1%, and you know, honestly, I know people who have benefited from that tax cut, but I will tell you, it has taken money out of our budget. It has meant we've had to replace it because we have programs that are working. So we don't want to break things that are working. And we're doing that because we need to give somebody a corporate tax break. Well, I'm sorry, zero corporate income tax, that doesn't attract business. Zero corporate income tax puts pressure on middle class and lower class folks in terms of a regressive sales tax. That's what happens, ultimately. And I am part of a family business where we pay 48 cents on the dollar. And we do that so that we can have good roads. And we do that so we can support public education and job skills training. And we do that, and we're glad to do that. Because what it means is that our people who work for us, 300 families in North Carolina work with us, and they're able to support their families, and they're able to have their kids educated. So yeah, simply, yes, it hurt.
Thank you. Representative Catlin, same question.
We did not cut just the top 1%. I don't know where that comes from. We cut the taxes for all citizens in North Carolina. Not just the corporate taxes, but the personal taxes. When I moved here from Florida, I went to the University of South Florida, and I came up here to work for an engineering company. They said, we'll pay you what you're already making, because I worked my way through school. I was working for a company there. And I said, that's fine. I came up here and I had to pay 7% taxes that I didn't have to pay in Florida, so it was a pay cut. And when I hire people from other states, sometimes I have to give them a $10,000 or a $15,000 raise so that they make the same amount of money based on our taxes in North Carolina compared to Florida and some other states. So we have made a step in the right direction to lower the corporate taxes, which is important, but also the personal taxes, which helps create more jobs and helps us all be able to do things like buy houses and buy cars and spend money at restaurants. So it's very, very important to continue to be very careful with our budget so that we can lower the taxes to be competitive with other states. And it does make a difference to corporations, because every incentive in North Carolina, except for the film industry, is a true tax credit. And the reason for that is they don't want to have to pay the North Carolina corporate taxes. And so that's what those incentives are to come here. So it's if we get the corporate tax rates and the tax rates for everybody down to a low level, then we are incentivizing all companies and being fair to everybody.
Thank you. Would you please state your name and ask your question to Rick Catlin?
My name is Lynn McIntyre, and I was wondering, as more and more cars on the road become hybrids and use less and less gas, the state collects less and less taxes, and that funds transportation and roads. Where are you going to make up the deficit from?
That's a good question and a big problem. But it's good that cars are being more efficient. So we are looking at doing it on a mileage basis. And I think that ultimately that's what we will do, is put it on a mileage basis, which is in term with a per gallon basis. So but yeah, we do have a cut. We do have a reduction in our infrastructure funding for our roads. But we did, in this last two sessions, we did take away some of the misuse of that money and put it back into funding of our roads. And so we're going to have to find a way to be fair and equal with people that are using regular fuel or using more efficient vehicles.
Thank you. Ms. Jordan, same question.
I still believe that economic incentive is the answer to funding our roads, to funding our teacher pay on a substantial level. We have a situation where we have opportunities because we have found a model in the film incentive that actually pays for itself first and increases our revenue. So that's one of the ways we'll do it. And I think that we can do that sort of thing. There was a bill that was not passed because it included restriction of local government, and it included also putting the incentive underneath the plan, which would not have increased film and, in fact, would have driven it away. House Bill 1224, I believe it was. And that included an incentive for Continental Tire. We lost that business. And they were slated to bring in 1,200 jobs. We went after them twice, but they never passed the bill because it was full of other things, as Mr. Catlin suggested. We didn't pass that, and that's a shame, but that's exactly how we will pay for it, is because we can develop our economies, and then we don't tax you. What we do is raise the river of revenue. But incentive is an important part of that process. You never heard of a farmer that planted and that harvested anything that didn't replant. And I'm going to save that time for another time. Okay?
Thank you. Sir, would you please state your name and ask your question to Betsy Jordan?
Yes, Mrs. Jordan. My name is Kendall Powell, and my question is, with the droughts going on in the western part of our country, what ideas will you implement to ensure a safe, sustainable water source for North Carolina residents?
I promise you that this is not an area of my expertise, and this is Mr. Catlin's expertise. I'm not an environmental engineer. I do not know about how to create water sources. I do know that there are ways to do that that are naturally, you know, we can encourage people using rainwater. I do know that there are ways to build aquifers and that there are ways to make sure that the water that we have is not continually polluted. What I know is that I'm willing to learn and that I am willing to share my expertise in other areas. I do want to say also, though, that having credibility in a certain area and then doing something that also encourages the demise of that is a problem. So I know the North Carolina League of Conservation Voters gave Mr. Catlin a score of 11 on all their environmental issues. It means that he didn't agree with environmentalists on a whole lot of things. I know that he's from Wilmington and he put his name on a bill that hurt the film incentive. He had credibility because he's from Wilmington. He has credibility in environmental issues, and yet he didn't vote along the lines of environmentalists. That raises some questions about it. And so I am willing to learn that which I don't know. I'm willing to admit when I don't know something, but I promise you in the areas of expertise, I will do my best to serve the people of this district. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Catlin, same question.
You may notice a little difference. I'm running a positive campaign. I'm just answering your questions. I got 2 minutes. I didn't have time to talk about all of the environmental bills that I had passed, but one of them is to allow the utility authority, which takes water from the river, to be able to sell it to Wrightsville Beach, to Carolina Beach, to Figure Eight Island, and or in other places, and inject it in the aquifer to sustain it so that we'll have a sustainable water supply. Because the study that was done, said that we only have 29 years out of the Cape Fear River, and that assumed that the aquifer stays sustainable. So I'm working now with the deals between the utility authority and Wrightsville Beach is the first one to try to get that moving, because it will preserve our aquifers and we'll be able to store water, because during the winter we have 20 million gallons a day that we don't use, and it just goes in the ocean. We got to find places to store that, and that is the long-term sustainable solution for Wilmington. And then keeping the water clean and keeping it fresh. I passed more environmental legislation. I have no idea why somebody scored me at 11, probably because I didn't agree with a isolated wetland bill or something like that. But there are very, very important answers out there to make sure that, because having water supply is the biggest economic advantage that you can have for an area, because that's where you get growth. And also, I'm looking at a reservoir at Lock and Dam number one. I'm working on that process, because when we get tropical rainfall, we get huge amounts of water that just goes right into the ocean. And there is a good location there. We just got to find a way to make it affordable to do that. Maybe we could pipe it back up to the middle part of the state and sell it. I don't know. But there's some good things going on.
Thank you. And our last question, sir, please state your name and deliver your question to Rick Catlin.
Thank you. My name is Hank Thomas. Mr. Catlin, what should we be doing to ensure the renourishment of our beaches and the dredging of our waterways to keep them safe around here in New Hanover County?
Yeah, thank you. I was chairman of the Ports, Waterways, and Beach Commission for, I say 20, but my wife says 25 years. So I've been working on that at the federal level and the state level for decades. And we have seen a decline in federal funding for our ports, our waterways, and our beaches. And I worked at the state level for our inlets to come up with a MOA, Memorandum of Agreement, where the state would pay 50% and local governments would pay 50% for our inlet maintenance, because that's huge for our economy here. Our beaches are huge for our economy. Our ports is tremendously important. And our intracoastal waterway is people ship, and people use it for shipping and boating and recreation. The room tax that we have here is going to keep our beaches renourished for the next 15 years or so, but it's not going to last forever because we're not getting the federal funding. So one of the things that we're going to have to do is, I've already started working on this, is working at the state level to allow some more flexibilities in our room occupancy taxes, because the way they're split up now was back when the federal government funded those things, and now they don't. If we don't protect those coastal resources, we will not be what we are. I mean, you just go inland a few miles and look at the towns there. They're not like us, and the reason we are so special, it's because of our beaches, our inlets, our waterways, our river, and our ports. And I am passionate about working on that. Also, one more thing quickly. I just went to Washington to argue it in favor of taking a study on the Jones Act, which requires, it completely eliminates competition for our dredging and beach renourishment, where there are only four or five companies in the nation. And they call each other and they go, I'll bid on Wilmington, you bid on somewhere else. And it's doubling our money.
Thank you. Betsy Jordan.
I agree that we have got to look at local solutions and state solutions. When we're losing federal funding, we also need to lobby to increase and maintain the federal funding that we're getting to re-nourish our beaches. I agree with Mr. Catlin about this. I think that that our beaches, our ports, and our rivers are incredible resources for us. They're the reason why people locate here. And so protecting those and figuring out how to re-nourish them, I agree with what he's doing. So thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, didn't mean to abbreviate that, but now we really do have time for a speed round. We'll give you each 1 minute to answer this question. Paige writes in, what comments can you give us in regards to the changes in voting laws in North Carolina? And Betsy Jordan, if you would answer first.
I believe we need to make voting easier for people all across the country. I think that it's important when you are leading groups of people to hear from every voice. And any movement to make voter suppression or having to have IDs or having to getting rid of early voting restricts the ability for people to raise their voice. I think we have a level of apathy in our country because people think their voices don't matter, and I think we need to encourage people to take things personally, to take action, and to go vote. And I think that's just the way that we should do it in America. So, thank you.
Thank you. Representative Catlin.
Voting is the most important part of democracy, and democracy is what makes America special in the world. And it is very reasonable to require that all voters have an ID. Most people, 99% of people have an ID anyway, and we put in a lot of flexibility. In fact, in some of the coastal counties, we're actually going to go around to people's houses to help them get voter IDs. We didn't rush it. You don't have to have a voter ID to this election. But we have to make sure that it's honest and it's fair, and many other states do it. We did it in a very thoughtful process. We're not trying to take away rights from anybody. We're trying to be very, very fair and to make sure that. And if you think there's nobody in the world that abuses that, you're wrong, because there have been people that abuse that, and this is a way to fix it. And we're not the only state to do it.
Thank you. It's time for our candidates' closing statements. Each of you will have 2 minutes. Since we ended the last question with Betsy Jordan, Rick Catlin will deliver the first closing statement. And your time begins when you start speaking.
I don't have to use the whole 2 minutes, do I? No. It's an honor to serve. I will say that as a professional engineer, it's a very different world for me in Raleigh, because professional engineers, we get a license, and a big part of it is the ethics that we have to work with. And I could actually lose my professional license by talking bad about one of my competitor engineering firms or by telling a lie. And so I have a very strong ethical approach to the General Assembly, I will say that it's very different up there, and I run my campaigns in a very positive and ethical way, because I think people are tired of negative campaigning. I think people are tired of things being twisted. I give you the facts. If you don't like what I did, that's fine. You have the right to vote however you want to vote, but I'm not going to tell you something just because it sounds good. So I work very hard. It's a sacrifice to my business. It's a sacrifice to my sweet wife of 40 years. Hello, Janice. Thanks for being here. I don't get to see my grandkids as much, and or my dogs. And the one dog that I used to take to Raleigh with me so that I'd have somebody to cuddle with, I just had to put her to sleep. So it's very sad situation. But I work hard. I'm not going to waste my time up there. I'm not up there to cut ribbons and wave in parades. I am up there to make a difference. And if I cause controversy, it might be that I'm doing something right. So I do what I think is right, not what I think is politically correct. I do represent the people of this area. I will give my entire life resources to make that happen. Hopefully I won't do it for my entire life, because I've still got to get back to my business.
Thank you. Ms. Jordan, 2 minutes for your closing statement.
When $2.5 billion of our tax dollars is sent back, we've already paid that money in. If it's sent back so that people can have access to quality health care, it's time to take that personally. I decided to run for office because I had been working to build an industry in this town, the film industry. And when my opponent put his name on House Bill 994, it started a film exodus. It started people leaving and not coming to our great state. So it was time for me to take it personally and to take action and step up to make a difference. I come from a long line of people who've been involved in community service. I've raised a daughter in this community who has gone to public school. She was educated very well. She's now in college, and she was just home this weekend. And I have a vested interest in this community because of her and because of my friends and family and neighbors who have benefited by living here. My mama was a public school teacher. She used to worry about kids having a roof over their head and food in their tummies. Now we worry about teachers having a roof over their head and food in their tummies. And they have gone to other states because they have more competitive ways to make a living. There's something wrong with that system. I just believe it's time for voters to understand that they matter, to step up, to take action, and to take it personally because they've been affected by this legislative session more than any other time. And thank you. I want you to vote for me, Betsy Jordan, Jordan Lake the country, the river, and the basketball player. Thank you.
Thank you. You've been tuned to a special live broadcast of the North Carolina House District 20 Candidates Forum here on HQR News 91.3 FM. We've also streamed live on WWAYTV3.com. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn with WWAY News Channel 3's Chris Brown. And a special programming note, this forum will be rebroadcast as a special election edition of Coastline at noon on Wednesday here on WHQR 91.3 FM. I'd like to thank our candidates, Rick Catlin and Betsy Jordan, for participating in this forum. I'd also like to thank Chris Brown and all the folks at WWAY News Channel 3 who made tonight possible. And thanks to our invaluable volunteers, Lindsay McGrath and Lori Goldwasser, WHQR staff members Ken Campbell, Bob Workman, George Scheibner, Lan Nichols, Isabel Shepherd, and Alexa Doran. Thanks also to station manager Cleve Callison. Finally, heartfelt thanks to our live audience, our listeners, and all of you who contributed thoughtful questions for the candidates. Most importantly, remember to vote. The deadline to register is Friday, October 10th. Early voting begins on October 23rd. And remember that you cannot register and vote on the same day. If you're going to vote in this November election, you must register by the 10th. Election day is November 4th. Thank you again and good night.